Hello. Before we jump into the show, we need to shout out our awesome new sponsor, Marquee TV.
Man, I was so excited when we got the news about the sponsor. You all might remember from a few weeks ago that I talked about my new Shakespeare project where I'm learning everything I can about Macbeth.
It felt like we said the name Shakespeare out loud and the Marquee people appeared and said, "We gotcha."
It really did.
Yeah.
In case you're not familiar, Marquee TV is a streaming service. They have theater, ballet, opera, documentaries. There's a bunch of behind-the-scenes content of productions. Basically, it's a fun way to nerd out about the arts.
Yeah, it's a streaming service that will take you to the best theaters in the world from the comfort of your own sofa.
I've already added so many things to our watch list. Did you know there's a ballet based on the works of Beatrix Potter?
I did. They've got a little preview video of somebody dancing around in a rabbit costume.
Peter Rabbit doing ballet. I also added a few hip-hop dance shows just to balance out the dancing bunnies.
Yeah, hip-hopera. That's what they call it.
They do. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Mozart's Requiem from the London Philharmonic Orchestra and a bunch of Shakespeare plays, including Richard II, starring my pretend best friend, David Tennant.
And Judi Dench talking about her long relationship with Shakespeare in a master class.
Yeah, I love Judi Dench.
Sure.
But David Tennant.
Yeah, that's quite a battle there.
Okay, there's a special deal for our listeners. Marquee TV is offering 3 months of their service for 99 cents. You get 3 months of all of this good stuff for 99 cents with the code SSOP.
That cost seems absurdly low to me. Like, first, I expected it to be much higher given the quality of the content, but also 99 cents. You can't park next to a theater for 99 cents.
Accurate. Also, if you watch Marquee TV, you get to see these shows maybe wearing your pajamas and hanging out with your cat or your dog.
Yeah. It's a good way to sort of indulge your own curiosity. You can see all the performances of Hamlet, or maybe the first 15 minutes of all of the performances of Hamlet, and you don't have to rope your friends and family into all of that.
Or you could watch Richard II over and over and over and over.
What's the best angle for David Tennant in Richard II?
Trick question. All of them. Anyway, you definitely need to explore the website because there is a ton of really fun, fascinating, engaging stuff on there. I went in specifically looking for Shakespeare, and I found a ton of other things I wanted to watch.
Yeah. You can keep up with what they're doing on social media at Marquee Arts TV. You can visit their website at marquee.tv. That's marquee.tv to get 3 months of their service for just 99 cents with the promo code SSOP. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. And now the show.
Coming up, a gripping novel that's equal parts delicious and disturbing.
An experiment in local travel.
Plus our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is the Library of Lost Time.
I've been listening to the audiobook of a new novel. It's called Piglet, written by Lottie Hazel.
You have been going on about this book.
It's so good. The story is stuffed full of glorious food descriptions.
Yep.
And the narrator on the audiobook, Rebecca Hines, has this very warm, buttery British accent.
Piglet's dinner would not be like her mother's or her future in-laws. There would be jazz music, cigarettes smoked on the patio.
It's fantastic.
And a dessert made from one of
and I'm going to try to explain why I love it without giving anything away.
All right.
Our heroine is Piglet. She was given this nickname by her family when she was a kid, and it stuck.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But she's grown up now, and she's doing very well for herself. Thank you very much. She's engaged to a dreamy fiancé named Kit. He comes from a posh family. She does not.
Mm-hmm.
The couple has just moved into a new house in Oxford, and she has a dream job. She works as an editorial assistant for a cookbook publisher in London.
So on paper, everything is going very well for Piglet.
It's a delicious life,
yeah.
Right? But just 13 days before their wedding, Kit confesses a betrayal, and Piglet's happiness is shattered. The wedding is still on, which, wow.
Oh.
Yes. And you have to wonder if Piglet and Kit are careening toward the worst wedding ever, and maybe the worst life ever. As the days tick down, Piglet is ravenous for food, for love, for all of the things she wants in her life.
Yeah.
No matter how much she eats, she still feels hollow. The story opens with two back-to-back dinner parties that are rendered so vividly. Like, I could see the perfect photos on Instagram and smell the food simmering on the stove. The author's descriptive powers are really, really good, really precise. I could also feel the undercurrent of the tension in my guts.
Yeah.
It's like this very unsettling vibe, but also really compelling.
And funny too, right?
Very darkly funny.
Yeah.
Like, you keep noir sort of... is noir funny.
Yeah.
Black, black, black funny.
Yeah. You keep describing it as maybe the stove you shouldn't touch, right? It's just like, but it's so funny, but it's dark, but it's funny, yeah. But it's dark.
You keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
It's like when you keep eating snacks even though you have a stomachache.
Or Fleabag, which we watched recently.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you took the sparkly writing of Nora Ephron and merged it with the like sharp, bitter, agony humor of Fleabag.
Yeah.
You get this.
Okay.
The way the characters talk to each other, particularly the conversations between Piglet and her parents, are so real. Like, it makes me like a little breathless sometimes. And the audio, I 100% recommend the audio if you like audiobooks at all. Even though this is beautifully written, I would say having this story told to me is really heightening the emotion. I'm loving this book so much. I texted a friend yesterday and said, please, please read this book so I can talk to you about it. It's Piglet by Lottie Hazel, and it's out now. I should also mention that the author, Lottie Hazel, has a PhD in creative writing, and her research was focused on food writing in 21st century fiction. But she's also the co-founder and lead designer of an indie board game company.
Oh, wow.
It's called Birdwood Games, and their biggest game is Dog Park.
Oh, sure.
Do you know Dog Park?
I do know Dog Park.
It's a board game about collecting and walking your favorite dogs.
Yeah. It is.
I feel like if Lottie and I should ever meet, we would have a lot to talk about. Food and dogs. Yes, please.
Alistair Humphreys has had many, many adventures.
Is that a cousin?
Maybe a very, very distant relative, clearly from a different line of the family. I'll tell you more about him and you'll see. Alistair Humphreys, of the far removed other Humphreys, has walked across India and Iceland and around Spain.
Wow.
Yeah. He rode a skiff across the English Channel. He crossed the Bering Strait and went from Alaska through about a third of Russia. He's run 150 miles or 240 kilometers across the Sahara Desert, part of it with a broken foot.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
This is one person did all of these things.
That's right.
Not a team.
That's
of Alistair's.
This is the claim online. People are making stuff up, but I'm inclined to believe it. His list of things I would not do goes on for quite a while.
Where's the part where he sits under a blankie with a book?
Exactly. Visits a nice game store, gets some tea, has a sit in the park.
Yeah.
But that is not how you become the National Geographic Adventure of the Year.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah, there you have it. He has written a shelf full of books about his trips, but his most recent adventures have been more modest. At some point, Humphreys realized that he didn't know his hometown well. Like most of us, I suspect he knew the things he knew, how to get groceries, get to the dentist, go to your friends' houses, that kind of thing. So he decided to fix that. He ordered a custom map of his home outside of London. He put his house in the middle of a 20 by 20 kilometer square. That's about 12 and a half miles on a side. And he decided to visit a new point on that map every week for a year.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. He'd bike out and see what was going on. He'd make some notes, take some pictures, do some research, identify some plants, try to learn what's in his backyard. And he wrote a book about the experience. It's called Local, A Search for Nearby Nature and Wildness. The book came out in January. The reviews have been great. They talk about Humphrey's writing and his sense of humor. He ends up exploring suburbs, cemeteries, woods, and waterways. If you're interested in starting a neighborhood adventure, you might enjoy this. It's Local, A Search for Nearby Nature and Wildness by Alistair Humphreys. And now our distraction of the week. Next week, we are headed to London. We will spend a few days there and see some shows and visit a museum and eat some things. A bacon sarnie is in my future, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Ooh, bacon sarnie. If you've never had the pleasure, it's a ciabatta bun, which means it's pretty smooth on the top, and they're pretty doughy.
Yeah.
And it has British bacon, which, if you get a good one, is cooked crispy. And then, just because, there's butter on the bun.
Yeah.
And then you can put brown HP sauce on it, which is like a little spicy and sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I expect we're going to tell you more about that trip after we've been there. While we were getting ready for that, though, poking around London on Google Maps and such, I reminded myself of a store I've been wanting to visit. It's called Stanford's. They describe themselves as, quote, the UK's leading specialist retailer of maps, travel books, and other travel accessories. So maybe you hear that and you're thinking of a dark, small, musty place crammed full of ancient charts and grouchy old salespeople who are still angry about the invention of GPS.
Maybe with a monocle.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good touch. Yeah. This is not that. Stanford's is a clean, well-lighted place for maps. The main store has two stories. They're maps, of course. There's also a wide selection of globes, tiny, inflatable, celestial, floor standing. You can realize your dream of having a globe on a floor stand for about $1,500.
Sweet.
Yeah. There are guidebooks and books about travel and blank journals and fiction with a strong sense of place. In one of the pictures of the interior, I saw a book called How to Swear Around the World.
That's essential.
Yeah. They have toys and games with a travel theme. One of the reviewers described it as the best museum shop you've ever been in.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Stanford's has been around for 170 years now.
Right on.
Previous customers have included the British explorer David Livingstone, who famously got lost. So I wonder if he's the best spokesman for a map shop. Ernest Shackleton has shopped there. Florence Nightingale and Bill Bryson. Michael Palin started his series Around the World in 80 Days at Stanford's.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stanford's also has a small cafe, and they're well known for their hot chocolate.
Ooh, that's nice.
I love the idea of being in London, getting an idea for a trip, running down to Stanford's, grabbing the appropriate maps, getting a cup of hot chocolate and maybe a sandwich to stuff in your coat pocket and going off on your next adventure. Of particular interest to our listeners, Stanford sponsors a travel writing award. The shortlist for 2024 has been announced. There's also a list of previous winners on Wikipedia, and we will point to both.
Visit strongsenseofplace.com/library for more on the books we talked about today and the fabulous Stanford's Map and Travel Bookstore in London.
Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.